and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Of course, everybody knows it's Greg Tucker's day every other Tuesday, and we'll be talking about probably everything that you can think about, and we want to let you know that his show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And I went over there, Greg, last week. They fixed me up. I was having a hard time even talking at the time. And it's that night that it was so cold. The snow was blowing about 20 miles an hour. And I went over to see John L. Beatty right afterwards. And his son-in-law, Brandon Witt, is the National Farmer of the Year. Can you imagine that? Right here in Murfreesboro, one of our own.
In Rutherford County.
In Rutherford County, yes. Well, I should have said Rutherford County, shouldn't I?
Well, technically he's in Rutherford County, but I like to think of us as a larger community, Rutherford County.
Yeah.
We got a lot in common. And I'm also real proud that we've still got a strong agricultural component. I know when you and I were kids, we were a farm county, a farm community.
Every young boy was hauling hay, throwing it in the loft.
Yeah, and most of the kids that lived in town had relatives out in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd spend your weekends or your summers working the farm or something. But John L. has maintained, you know, not only the tradition of the agricultural community, but he and his family have really set a standard, national standard, I think. I'm still suspicious of the pig, though. I think it's a second or third generation pig he's keeping out there.
Well, he told me the other day that Wilbur is 8 years old.
8 years old.
Uh-huh. Now, that's pretty old for a pig.
Yeah, but he's getting
past. Usually they've been on a plate before.
He's gotten past his prime, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of like a hero. You know, you don't do away with Wilbur.
But we'll be doing this 10 years from now, and you'll still be telling me Wilbur's out there.
Yeah. If we're all still around at that point.
Yeah.
And we want to let you know that Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat takes care of just about everything in that particular area. And 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50. And there is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. 848-9265.
You mean we interrupted right in the middle of that commercial to talk about a pig named Wilbur?
That's important. Both of them are important.
Yeah, and your personal endorsement is, you know, you're supposed to flash on the screen when you make that personal endorsement like that, whether or not you're an actor or an actual patient.
Oh, am I? Well, I was an actual patient.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that straight.
Dr. James Fordyce, he will affirm that I was in his office and he took care of me.
I wonder if they have the radio on in their office.
I don't think so. I don't think it'll have to be one of the patients that will go over and tell them that they actually heard us.
Yeah, I wouldn't want them distracted by your commentary.
Actually, I hear that you kind of sound a little bit creepy yourself this morning. Maybe you need to go over. I'll give you the address, and I'll personally take you tomorrow, not today.
What I really need, though, is someone to spray the dust down in the barn, because I've been out in the barn a little too much here lately trying to sell some calves, get them sorted out. And
Well, now, see, I'm allergic to dust mites, so I don't need to be over there.
Dust mites, those are domestic. You raise them in your house.
I raise a lot of them in my house.
out in the barn, it's at, it's been awfully, I was gone last week, most of the week, was down in sunny California, too sunny, terrible drought out there. But when I came back, I believe it was 2 days ago, and got to working on the farm, it's dusty.
Hmm.
We've been very dry, at least out in Donald's Chapel. Jacob's Hollow, it's been quite dry and very, very cold. We're kind of freeze-dried.
Vote to go wet.
Huh? Yeah, I'm a good wet vote. Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been dry in all those phases, I guarantee you, over the years. Now, have you been – I do want to mention that Blackman girls – beat the number one team in the country, St. Louis.
Wasn't that something?
Yeah. They lost to them the first time, and that's the only game they had lost. So I presume that they'll be the number one team in the country when the next poll comes out.
It would be only fair.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous about that matchup, but I'm glad it worked out.
I think they handled it really, really well. And this is their second team that's been the number one team in the country, because Riverdale was the number one girls team in the country.
Yeah.
So we're bountiful with athletes right here.
Yeah, well, some years ago, I remember Shelbyville used to reach that level. And Rick's now out at MTSU, and they won 17 straight?
Yeah, 16 or 17, yeah. And I was fortunate to be there, and Ebony Rowe is the top point scorer. We all got up and gave her a big hand, and which she deserved. And I thought she handled it really well. I mean, she seems like she was enjoying the moment, but she's I think she's a little humble with the things that she's done.
Well, I hope Coach Ensel encourages them that way. I'd hate to hear them trash talking like the image we get
Seattle.
Some of the pros we get now. I don't know. Maybe I'm a throwback, but I don't enjoy that. It puts me off.
I hope Peyton Manning has the best day he's ever had coming up this next Sunday. I'm really pulling for him. When you have class acts that are up there that, you know, it seems like everybody loves him. Even the opponents love Peyton Manning because of the way it's not only his skills, it's work ethics. He's constantly working to make himself better and everybody else better, but he keeps it all in perspective that it is a sport. And I really do like that.
Well, he came from a class background, too. Archie was always very much the gentleman athlete.
Now, what have you been doing the last few weeks?
Well, let's see. It is the season of the Lunar New Year. And as you know, I have strong
family. Is that L-O-O-N-E-Y or L-U-N-A-R?
It has to do with the moon.
Oh, okay.
And the phases of the moon and the
They say the moon makes us a little loony from time to
time. Yes, it does. And the Asian tradition bases the new year on the phases of the moon. I can't explain how that works, but that is the tradition. And we went to Southern California, where there's some very large Asian populations. And the flowers and the decorations and the excitement. It's very much a family time like we think of Thanksgiving. But they build up to it like we do Christmas, like the Western tradition is Christmas.
So that's what's called Tet?
The Vietnamese, it's a Tet.
Yeah.
Of course, my wife's family background, Vietnamese, so we got together with the family and the senior members, surviving members of the family, and I enjoyed it very much, but I sympathize with the weather out there. They're in the midst of the worst drought, I think, on record, and you know how critical the water supply is in that southern part of California, so while we're experiencing our coldest, they've got their hottest winter going, and very, very dry.
You don't think that we're going into a stage right now where we will have polar bears and walrus and all those other animals migrating into this area, do you?
I don't know about
I'm not sure about global warming. I think we're tilting around. I think we're changing.
I think we're changing, but just listening to commentary out there, the last 100 years, California has had the climate that they built their agricultural business on, their industry. But if you go back 150, 200 years, the climate was not at all conducive. It was much drier. Mm-hmm. And so it may be a cycle. If so, I expect, you know, we'll adjust mm-hmm. and ride the cycle. It may mean some significant changes in region, at least agriculture, region agriculture and such. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I was out on the farm the last few days when it was down in those single digits, and I thought, you know, there may be a blessing here. I have really been fighting the fire ants the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if this cold weather will give me a little leg up on the fire ants, I'd appreciate it very much. My wife remarked that, at least the ticks and the chiggers and all are taking a beating, so hopefully they won't be as bad. And the flies.
I hope that's true.
Yeah, and the flies. Larry Williams, my veterinarian, always, when we have these mild winters, reminds us that early on we got to start the fly treatment because mm-hmm. an awful lot of the reproducing flies survive those mild winters and get a head start on us.
Well, the armadillos are heading back south, I hear, so.
I have seen them down 231, but we saw one up close to our neighborhood. Of course, they're always roadkill when I see them. Mm-hmm. First one I had seen up in our part of the county, but it's just been that one. That was about a month ago we saw him.
What would your dad think about the way the changes have been over the last 10, 15 years? It's unbelievable. I think about my dad quite often about what in the world is going on here. I'm sure that's what he would say.
I think he'd be very uncomfortable with the political changes.
Yeah.
You know, he was a yellow dog and benefited from those relationships in his professional practice and such. I think he'd be concerned about the loss of some of our architectural heritage. And some of those things even today are in question. I read when I returned that, and I knew that the Daily News Journal no longer needs the building complex they have mm-hmm. there. And I wasn't surprised that they're going to be relocating, because the Daily News Journal now is just an office operation. All the printing is done.
It's just a shell of what it used to be.
Well, the printing is all done up in Nashville.
Yeah.
And they've got, I suspect the distribution is probably handled through Nashville contact anyway. But part of that complex, most people call it the McFadden home, the part right on the corner. I hope people will step back and look at it occasionally. It's a very simple residence, but it's got a lot of history. It was it's antebellum. It was built before the Civil War, and it was built by a very, very prominent family, the Keeble family.
Mm-hmm.
Actually it was occupied by the sister, the daughter of the Keeble family, but it was built by Brady, I think was who she married. But the Keeble, interesting, was a congressman, a national political office, but it wasn't the United States.
Hmm.
Keeble was a congressman in the Confederacy.
Wow.
Represented this area. I don't think many people realize that rarely do we focus on the Confederate government political structure, but there was a Congress, and Keeble was representing our area in the Confederate Congress, and this was a Keeble home originally, Brady Keeble, first family there. And following the Keebles was the Tompkins family, and the Tompkins, the patriarch of the Tompkins line, probably was our most... not just ambitious, but most diversified politician. I think he held 5 or 6 different county and city positions. Was mayor for a while, was sheriff for a while, was clerk and master of the Chancery Court, was a state legislator, and that was his home that we call the McFadden home.
But that was not in the Confederate.
No, the Tompkins would have been the period after the war,
in
that post-Reconstruction period. And eventually it did become a McFadden home. Now, the McFaddens, they go back before the Civil War, and were very prominent in the business community and in the political community. They were brothers, two McFaddens, and of course their descendants later. But the two brothers were grocers, retailers, very successful. And one of them served, both of them, time to time, served as alderman for the city and held county positions as well. And it's their family that most people identify with. I think a lot of people call that the old McFadden house. Mm-hmm. And McFadden married well. And let's see, it was interesting last name. Like, it wasn't Eliza, it's more like Elise. Was the daughter of last generation around 1900, but she was a very, very popular school teacher. Hmm. Not a politician, not a superintendent, anything. She just taught school. But she was so popular and respected that McFadden School was named for her.
Wow.
Many of us think, well, you know, the McFadden family and the politicians and the such and such, but no, it was named for the, the young lady who was the school teacher. Elise, I think, was her name, E-L-I-Z-E, something of that effect.
That's when the school teachers were still held in high esteem at that time.
As they should be.
Yes, and still should be now.
Also was one of the best employments for a young woman back then, limited opportunity. So I hope some thought will be given. I know we're talking about building a county parking garage on that lot, and I think we need some more. Open lot parking is always ugly, so you know a parking garage would be an enhancement and help.
We need your dad here to build it.
Yeah, but if we get the right architect, and I think the architectural firm has been doing the some work out the sheriff's department, some work in the courthouse, Klein Sweeney firm. I believe they could show us a way to preserve a house like this. And the house itself is very solidly built. I mean, these houses in that period frequently are three or four bricks thick on the outside walls. People will say, you can bring in an expert who will look at an old building and tell you just exactly what you want to hear. So if you're determined you're going to tear that building down, you know, we're going to find some experts that will tell you, yeah, that building just can't survive and wouldn't be worth it. But at the same time, it's kind of like lawyers. You can always find an expert if you're really interested who'll tell you, yes, this building can be saved and used, and it's a sound in many cases. Our courthouse is a good example. I wrote about back in 1938 when we brought several leading lawyers down from Nashville, and they looked at the courthouse and said, it's a loss. This, you know, we any money you spend here would be wasted. And the county commission, in light of that testimony, our advice, expert advice, and the citizens, all agreed that all they could do would be to tear down the courthouse and rebuild.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is 1938, and it's on record, the vote to demolish the Rutherford County Courthouse. What saved it, and I think you and I have talked about it before, part of the incentive, and I think this is why the architects who wanted to design a new building and spend the money, there was federal money available towards the end of the New Deal to rebuild, to replace public buildings like this. So to some extent, the Japanese saved the courthouse because when the war broke out, that money disappeared. And fortunately, the county had drug its feet to come up with matching money. And it was one of those things where the federal would put up 50% or something like that, but the county or the local jurisdiction had to match money. And they were slow getting that together. And as a result, they lost the opportunity that they thought they had. So if you read in, I believe it was the Rutherford Courier, Minor Bragg, one of, I think, our local heroes of that period. But every day in the Rutherford, not every day, it was a twice weekly paper. Every time the paper came out, they'd have a thing in there about the courthouse. And it would be, Rutherford County has the ugliest courthouse in the state of Tennessee. Or Rutherford County should be embarrassed because, and they'd detail, you know, the condition of the bathrooms or whatever it was. They kept it up for almost a decade. In about 1948, finally, the county put up some money, no matching money. This time it was just county. So, and rehabbed, and the problem was not that the walls were falling in. The problem was with the plumbing and the heating system and things of that sort. So they kind of, and finally, we know in 1960, they looked at it again. And again, the question was, do we abandon this building and build a new one? And this time, some local interest, Ms. King, for one, mm-hmm. and several others, said, wait a minute, we got a lot of history here and a showpiece. We need to take better care of it. And there, I'm proud that there was a young architect who had just come back from Arizona. And he said, I can expand the courthouse, and it'll look like it's always been that way.
Wow.
And the two additions on the end, which are more space than you realize. I think that added 10 rooms space. And the mayor sits in that part of the building now. And Tev Beatty, the trustee, is in one part of that, mm-hmm. that new part of the building. So, mm-hmm. so you know, when people tell me that, you know, well, that old house has been there 150 years, it's just we can't do anything with that. No, if we want to, we can. And if we just look at some of our neighbors, Fayetteville, Franklin, where they have kept the classic look and the historic interest and use that to build the business base around the courthouse mm-hmm. in this inner city, it makes good economic sense. But
downtown Murfreesboro is beautiful. It really is. It's second to none. Whether you come in from East Main Street with all the beautiful homes they've got over there, and those are structures, you know, have some of them have the names like the Critchlow House and those type of things. They're special. But I love to come from Broad Street up West Main and going toward the courthouse. Every opportunity that I have when I'm driving at night, whether it's going to take me off of my path mm-hmm. or not, I go up there. And when I've got my wife with me, I always look at the courthouse and I say, isn't that the most beautiful building you've ever seen? And she will always agree with me.
A lot of people agree with you. It's cited, I think there's only six, I may be a little off, but it's close to about six pre-Civil War courthouses existing in Tennessee. So we, you know, we're real proud of it. But if we think about how close we came to losing it, and then look around at the remaining structures from those mm-hmm. periods. I mean, the McFadden House was built in the same period as the courthouse mm-hmm. in the 1850s, just prior to the war. And this community had a little money back then, so things built here in that period were usually built rather well, the nice brick homes and such. Mm-hmm. We have, as a community, more or less moved our business center out to the Avenue area mm-hmm. Where the hospital is now near the interstate. So we need to think that the old inner city, what type of businesses, what's going to build there? Well, the nightlife, mm-hmm. The good dining areas, specialty retailing, and some historic interest. It's probably going to be the future of our old downtown core. And
I wonder if Premier Six ever thought about buying the Daily News Journal property and putting up a new Princess Theater right there.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be neat? It'd only be just a half a block away or something like that from the old Princess.
I think we should encourage entertainment type things to come into this area. And apparently the county has made the decision that we're going to keep the judicial function in the downtown area. Mm-hmm. Setting it off a block or two is fine, but let's not sacrifice everything, you know, else that could make it interesting. And I'm the first to say, because I've been involved with several what I consider architecturally significant buildings, try to preserve them, you have to have an alternative use. There has to be some way for the building to support itself mm-hmm. or some other source, like the Gladstone apartment building, because it's an apartment building and you can continue to update in the infrastructure mm-hmm. and keep it on the market as an apartment building, that'll probably be there forever because it's got a productive use. The Oakland is a good example of the other alternative, and that is when a group in the area takes an interest and establishes foundation, fundraiser. I was talking with one of the ladies as part of that group, and she pointed out that a community can only support so many of those. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably are very close to how many we can support as charitable projects. So the McFadden House, we'd have to find an alternative use, but that could be county offices. It could be offices or facilities for some of the programs, like our local symphony needs an office and a more visible office. Mm-hmm. Read to Succeed, one of my favorite charities, needs a more visible location. Some of those things could be worked out. So I hope our leadership will not just say we need a parking garage, let's clear the lot. I hope they'll look closely at you know, what should be saved and what can we go ahead and start over on.
Don't you think we're, and I think a lot of it can be contributed to you and the Rutherford County Historical Society, we're more cognizant of the value of those homes as far as our heritage is concerned. And we've lost a number of them before it came to play, because Oakland's was almost gone.
Almost.
And then you have the Faircloth home that is gone.
Yeah, that's one of the most tragic. The last few occupants, fraternities and such, had not maintained the property, but I suspect that that could have been turned into very much of a tourist attraction and something we'd be proud of if we had been willing to do that. And what did we do? We cleared it and made it a parking lot, a ground level parking lot.
Could you imagine the Faircloth home having all the memorabilia from the past having to do with the Faircloth, and then maybe having some of General MacArthur's memorabilia put in there in special places? I think that would be a great tourist attraction. It certainly would have.
I think that's one of the best examples of kind of a lost opportunity, because that would have been more than just a nostalgic interest around this community. I mean, that's nationally prominent history there.
You talk about East Main Street. It's one of the most beautiful. I love going down East Main Street. And the people that live there are so blessed to be living in that type of environment.
I was taking a picture of one of the houses there just last couple of days. I hope to use it in the book that we're hopefully winding up here pretty soon. But I had an opportunity to add one more picture. And 332 East Main, right across, almost diagonally across from the grocery store there, is believed to be the house built by Matthias Murfree, the son of the colonel, who, after his father's estate was administered, owned just about everything east of the original city limits and built his first home there. And that house probably has been added to, probably has been changed in its appearance, but the original house, we believe, was actually built by Matthias, and that being correct, it would be the oldest of the grand homes along East Main. And right now it's private residence. I hope it'll continue to be that.
I love all the houses. I don't know why I have such, the building has such an attraction for me, but the old Critchlow house, I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's the design style. There's just something that takes you back a couple hundred years, doesn't it? And you look at it and it's just, oh my gosh, I wish I lived there instead of Jim Smythe.
Jim's taken good care of that.
Oh, he really has.
And my children always would point to it and call it Fairy Castle because of that turret, I guess you'd call it, on the front corner of it. And I noticed Jim puts his Christmas tree there. So, you know, during the season, it's very pretty the way he sets it up.
You know that he will pay $100 to anybody to go up there and stay in the top floor by themselves.
No, I don't know that. one of our East Main haunted houses. Yeah. you know, if you're putting this on, he's going to have six callers this afternoon. I want to take him up on the offer.
I don't know if you've ever been in that house. I don't know if I'd want to stay up there by myself or not. I would. I love that type of thing.
That's it. Another house we lost, which I guess was gone before I can remember, because I don't ever remember it, was Matthias Murfree, married a very prominent young woman. In fact, is an entertaining story about him stealing her away and them eloping, we'd call it today, just before she was to marry some distinguished older military veteran, the family choice. But perhaps because of that, they came to Tennessee. And, of course, Murfree had his inheritance here. They built a house on East Main, but later, apparently, I'm guessing, to because of her interest, they built a house in what now would be the Holloway area of Murfreesboro. And it was patterned after her family home in North Carolina. In fact, it was a copy of it, of her family home. And back home in North Carolina, their home was called The Castle. So when they built their new home here, she named it The Castle after her home. And I came on that because I was trying to figure out why in the world we have a Castle Street. And Castle Street went from the downtown area to their home and was called the Road to the Castle.
I don't think we give the people who buy those homes and fix them up and keep them still in the era that they were built. We don't give them enough credit. I know, and you know a whole lot more of those people than I do, but I do know that Gordon and Sarah Bell, their home right down from Oakland's mansion, going in that home, it changes you as you walk through the door. It really does. I can feel like how those people would be living back a couple hundred years ago. But just going in the house, you just have that feel of something really, really special. And back then, it would have been very, very special.
Well, remembering a discussion you had with one of our friends on the air not long ago, that feeling may be a bit spiritual.
Well, it is spiritual. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. And, of course, it's the Greg Tucker Show.
You can get non-medical care at home for you and your loved one. Just visit athomecaretn.com.
My name is Mary Arnold. I am the administrative assistant here at Home Care. I really love my job because I get to be interactive with the clients and the caregivers. I'm the first person they meet when they walk in the door and the last person they see when they leave. It's a very nice, relaxing place to work.
Here's Melissa Warren with At Home Care.
The one thing that I think really sets At Home Care apart is that we understand we may not be the answer for everyone that phones us, but our goal is to help everyone that phones us, give them direction, give them information, maybe lead them to where they do need to call to get the help they need.
For that personal, non-medical care at your home, contact the professionals at homecaretn.com.
How many avenues have you taken but still keep coming back to the road asking yourself, how do I find my purpose in life? Have you ever set goals for yourself and lacked that extra oomph to see them through? If not, it's time to start. If so, what has kept you from achieving them? I'm Jean Jenkins, and I'm a certified Christian life coach. I can help you find your passion and purpose, help you attain them, and hold you accountable. Maybe you lack the self-esteem to do any of the above. I have the desire to help you see your worth, passions, and goals in life. Through life coaching, you can build a greater self-esteem so you can approach life with a determination to pursue your goals with inspiration and a burning desire to achieve them. You'll expand your possibilities through accountability. In the end, you'll be inspired, motivated, and willing to step out of that box that's constrained you so you can reach your goals with a greater love for yourself. For more info, go to findingyou.com. That's findingewe.com. You can't take care of other things until you take care of yourself. Start off the year by investing in you.
Weather Eye.
See a few spotty areas of light snow here for this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high in the low 20s, and winds gusting as high as 25 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 14.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
GPS Refurbishing, Middle Tennessee's metal refurbishing and coating experts since 1985. GPS Refurbishing can bring new life to your old, worn out, even damaged metal treasures using our proven metal refurbishing processes, including powder coating. This process bakes on vivid, durable colors and is much better than wet spray paints. Bring antiques, outdoor and pool furniture, wheels, tools, farm equipment, toys, metal shelving, trailers, aluminum boats, and more back to life. GPS Refurbishing, 895-0816. GPS Refurbishing, 810 Old Salem Highway, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare.
We have a lot of people that have been here for a long time and will be here for a long time, and this is their home now, and they love it.
We just have a good time, enjoy it.
People are nice. But everybody I've ever met has always been nice to me.
And I know if I need anything, they'd be here or see that I got it.
We feel like we're the best. I promise that if you give us a shot, we'll do our very best to make sure that you feel the same way.
Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back. Greg Tucker Show, and this part of his show is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding. I know you can use some of that out there at the farm, Greg, on the not only on the farmhouse, but on the barn and other things.
It's great as a windbreak, yeah.
Yeah. No wind out there, you said, out there this morning.
This morning was about 15 degrees, which was 10 degrees warmer than I was expecting. And when I went out, the wind wasn't blowing, and I thought this is going to be a real nice day.
Yeah.
It may still be 15 degrees out there, but it started off real good for me.
And you live in the Hollis, so you have a lot of windbreakers around there.
Yeah, and there's a steady breeze during the summer, which we appreciate, kind of a warm breeze, but it's steady. This time of year, when the wind shifts and comes from the north, it blows into the hollow and can get pretty cold. But this morning, it was coming down out of the hills, mm-hmm. and very mild.
Well, we want to let you know that Metal Max Roofing and Siding is on 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive, and everybody that's been around here, I guess the last 60, 70 years, they either know about Joe or they knew Joe, and I knew him, one of the nicest fellas you'll ever run into, and of course we lost him during the Vietnam War,
right.
But he is one of our local heroes. And 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive is off of Middle Tennessee Boulevard, and that's right here in Murfreesboro. And metal roofs are beautiful, but they are resistant to wind damage and to roof rust. You're not worried about the wind damage, but I know you would be about the roof rust. And some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing, so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer, and that's without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max Roofing and Siding. Give them a call at 494-1693. 494-1693, or visit them on the website www.metalmax.com.
Now, will they install the roofing for you?
They have people that do the installing, and you can work with them. It's just that I don't think they'll give you a wrong turn at all. I think it's just there. I've been out there. I really feel comfortable with them, and you know, I don't do advertising with somebody that I don't do. I don't feel comfortable with.
I believe that.
Yes, and I think that should be done everywhere. And sometimes you can get misinformation, either through a print or the airwaves or whatever. But I think that is important, and it's important to remember our heritage right here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. And I know that the Readable Mill is very close to us. I mean, I remember as a young kid going over to the Readable Mill, and it's been a very strong part of the community. I know that it was the lifeline of the community there at one time. Mr. Reedy.
Originally Reedy, what's now Readable, was one, it predates Murfreesboro by a number of years, mm-hmm. and was for Oh, I'd, at least up through the Civil War was kind of the major, a major industrial and also, how would you say, transient area, because remember the first road through the county was Nashville to McMinnville, both mm-hmm. of which predate much of Rutherford, well, virtually everything in Rutherford County, came through Jefferson and came down to Reedville. And Colonel Reedy was didn't have that much land in for that era. But he was very much of a businessman, entrepreneur, and he was mm-hmm. catering to the traveling population. Got, I believe he got his license to dam the river and build the mill before Murfreesboro was even set up. And, of course, he vigorously opposed the location of Murfreesboro anywhere off that route.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, it looked like the Rucker property up where the VA is was the more likely location for the new county seat. And that was because Reedy and Rucker got together, and Reedy was protecting that traffic flow. He was concerned that it would divert that traffic flow that he was, frankly, getting rich off of,
mm-hmm.
one of the fortunes of that era and thereafter. He lost on the location of Murfreesboro, but it turned out not to hurt him because very quickly the Murfreesboro to McMinnville route developed, mm-hmm. and you continued to have the commercial link between Reedville and the new county seat. So he wasn't hurt, but he was very concerned that he was going to lose his business base if the traffic was diverted. And he was a vindictive man, though. He when he lost on mm-hmm. that obviously very political decision, he said, "I'm never going to set foot in Murfreesboro."
Wow.
And apparently never did. We don't have any record of him having any direct, but perhaps the way he could pull that off, his son,
mm-hmm.
Same name but not the colonel, his son became an attorney and based his practice in Murfreesboro and eventually was the mayor of Murfreesboro. Those looking at our history should be careful to distinguish between those two, because the original Colonel Reedy wasn't about to have anything to do publicly or openly with Murfreesboro. And it may be that he developed and furthered the relationship through his son, who settled over in Murfreesboro and was very important in the later history.
Was that pretty common back in those years to have strong areas in a county community that were very competitive of each other? You had Old Jefferson up there in the Smyrna area, and of course you had Reedville, and at one time, you know, Christiana was pretty strong.
Christiana, the railroad made Christiana and Fosterville. In fact, both of those were incorporated cities at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Both later decided to give up. The incorporation, of course, imposes certain burdens and tax burdens and such. They gave it up. But yeah, when the railroad first came through, those areas became very important commercially and politically.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the dominant families in those communities still around those communities, very prosperous.
You think of as history has come about, and you look at Old Jefferson could have been the county seat.
Well, it was for a while.
Yeah.
And I get amused when I hear someone refer to, it was generally determined and appreciated that Jefferson was not an appropriate county seat. That is really putting a spin on it, because the Jefferson people fought viciously
mm-hmm.
to keep the statuses, because they knew that if they lost that, they would lose the traffic flow related to the judicial and government functions, and really hurt them commercially. And they had invested, they had up there a auction of lots around what was to be the square, and people had invested money. So mm-hmm. that was really a very bitter political period of about the time that they chopped off the bottom half of the original Rutherford County and made Bedford County. Starting then, there was that political competition between Jefferson and what I call the upriver landowners.
Mm-hmm.
And just think of human nature. The upriver major landowners, and of course we went two ways up the river, east mm-hmm. and west, They saw the opportunity and the wealth that had been quickly generated with the designation of Jefferson as the county seat, and they wanted their turn. What's funny, though, is just as soon as Jefferson's political interests were overwhelmed, then the East and West landowners were at each other the same way. So it's a fascinating period. We, of course, went through it in detail. I know you and I have talked about it before during the bicentennial observance. But it's fascinating, and it's also curious, but I guess human nature, how we gloss it over, romanticize it, and make it sound like such a gentleman's decision. And in fact, I mean, think what would happen today if someone decided Christiana should be our county seat. Mm. I mean, the Mercer interest in the and that part of the county would be at each other tooth and claw.
Well, it's amazing. You look at the ashes, the remnants of those major areas are pretty much, you look at old Jefferson, it's underwater.
I mean, be careful. Toby Francis will be all over you on that. It's actually...
parts of it's underwater.
Yeah, the port itself.
Yeah.
And there was a port right where the East and West Forks came together. But you can still stand on the main crossroads where the courthouse would have been built. Mm-hmm. Overlooking because the bank or the terrain there goes up a rather steep hill, I imagine, back in those days. And the courthouse was going to be right on top of the hill. And Toby Francis leads tours over there once in a while to old Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And you stand at the crossroads, and he'll tell you which buildings were where. Mm-hmm. The Victory family, very prominent. The Rucker family, very prominent.
Right.
The Weekleys and Nash and... very prominent families of that era. And but again, we see very often in the literature, Jefferson now covered by the waters of Percy Priest Lake. No, not quite. It was covered by the right, what do you call it, the right-of-way that the Corps of Engineers took. And back in those days, talk about obliteration, everything within the Corps of Engineers right-of-way was bulldozed. So everything except some pavement of Jefferson has disappeared at that time. And that's a shame, too. Can you imagine what a little tourist attraction we could have made out of Jefferson, overlooking the confluence of the East and West Forks?
Yeah, the Victory home is still, I mean, it's still standing. It's still there, or the land is.
Well, there were a number of Victory homes.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about Coons, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's my old buddy.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about Christiana. You know, you've got Miller's restaurant there now, which is one of the most successful restaurants in the community.
Yeah,
and it's still there.
Yeah, and Miller is one of the most prominent names there. If you go on down the road towards Hoover's Gap a little bit, there's the big Miller Cemetery. And a lot of our distinguished older citizens, such as Myers Parsons, come out of that Miller family there. And Miller, of course, very common name. It's a vocational name. You know, you were the Miller in town back in the Middle Ages, so you were Joe the Miller. So there are a lot of Millers unrelated, and two very prominent here. One is the Christiana Miller branch, but about the same time was the Alfred Miller branch, which used to be the Golf and Country Club on South Church. Mm-hmm. Now is the
Mercer Golf and Country Club at one time.
Yeah, down there is a there's a big development there around that golf. Indian Hills.
Indian
Hills. And unrelated, but two, if you go back into our history, you'll see those two Miller lines very prominent in the early days of the county.
Can you imagine if we still have Bedford County as part of Rutherford County? You know, it's pretty widespread now. I think there's about 614, depends on who you talk to, 614 or 621 square feet in our county now.
Square miles.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, all of it was Davidson County, but when they cut off, made Rutherford County, the original description is kind of interesting because they define, you know, Hurricane Creek, one of many. Hurricane Creek divided Davidson County from Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. And then they made pretty clear the line between Williamson, which preexisted, and Rutherford County. But the southern boundary, they said, was the boundary of the Indian lands.
Mm.
Well, nobody could agree where the Indian lands began or ended, and nobody wanted to because, mm-hmm. you know, we were pushing. And it was obvious that the county seat in Jefferson, what now is Bedford County, was over the hill outside the watershed. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the thinking was that the Stones River watershed, you know, was accessible and could be governed. But once you went over the hill and got into the Duck River watershed or the Elk River, you know, how in the world could we keep up? So there was very little resistance to, you know, drawing a line. Now we call it the Tennessee Divide, kind of the crest of that line of hills, mm-hmm. and making a new county, Bedford, on the other side.
Now they would be fighting over it. I mean,
oh, sure.
Just all that beautiful land over in Bedford County, just absolutely gorgeous.
Well, as we were saying earlier, it was once it was clear that there was a boundary, then is when the landowners began pressing to move the county seat to their advantage. Up until then, I think it was just so unclear, where are we? What's Rutherford County? So to some extent, that was kind of a watershed, no pun intended, event when they said, no, other side of the hills is going to be another county. Mm-hmm. Then Rutherford knew what it looked like and knew where it was.
Well, I see that Brian Barrett just got out of bed, and he's telling us we need to take a break. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, of course, with
Give
Greg
him a chance.
Tucker.
Give him a chance to get in the saddle there. Yeah.
This is Coach Rick Ensel, and we want to see you at Murphy Center.
The home basketball schedule for Middle Tennessee continues, and both the Blue Raider men and women have great home dates with great Conference USA opponents remaining. For more information on scheduling and tickets, go online to GoBlueRaiders.com, or you can call the MTSU ticket office at 1-888-YES-MTSU.
This is Kermit Davis. We want to see you at Murphy Center.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
One in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. I'm State Farm agent Bud Morris, and I can help get you to a better state. 893-1417.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
Life insurance is a discussion that makes most people want to change the subject rather than admit they don't have enough. I'm State Farm agent David Wilson. I can help you focus on how benefits of life insurance actually live on by helping pay off a house or sending the kids to college. 893-9898.
Catch up on MTCS Sports Saturday mornings at 11.
It's Cougar Corner from Farmer's Family Restaurant off Old Fort Parkway.
Here on WGNS.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Greg Tucker. What are you going to be working on? I haven't seen anything. I didn't see anything in print on your articles this last time.
Right now I'm doing just one a month. Mm-hmm. And it's usually the second, although the newspapers sometimes bump it to the third Sunday. I'm targeting the second Sunday in February for another article. I got about six different things I want to write about. So it's some frustration that, you know, there's so many things that are interesting in our local history. Look forward to being able to do it more frequently, and I've said this a dozen times on your show, after the next book is out, mm-hmm. and we are closing in on that, so I'm looking forward to getting it out. It's called Rutherford Ramblings. It's going to be about twice as long, I think, as the previous books, and we're having a lot of fun with the last details, and I've got my senior editor reading and proofreading. And
how's she doing?
She's doing extremely well and finding things that I've overlooked a dozen times. And but that lets me know that we're in the final stages. So hopefully in another month we'll be able to present it and refer to it on the Truman Show.
The wealth of events that have occurred and all the people that are involved, you'll never run out of stories,
no,
will you?
No, I've said before that when I first started, people kept saying, "Where do you get all your ideas?" In a week, I'll have three or four good suggestions made to me, and then other things I find. So there's just an unending wealth of what I think is interesting local history.
Being the Rutherford County chief historian.
County historian.
County historian. Yeah, yeah. Well, got to put Rutherford in there. There's a lot of county historians.
Yeah, 96.
Yeah. It keeps you busy all the time, doesn't it? There's just so much to do and to keep up with.
What was that, Truman?
Yeah, it sounded like Brian's telephone.
Fan club. Okay. As county historian, nobody's ever given me a job description, but just working to document and talking to groups, mm-hmm, and encouraging the schools to focus some on local history. And I want, and I have discussed with the county, information technology, to do a series of, I'd call them videos, mm-hmm, but a series of presentations that could be used and referenced in the future on our local history. And then correcting errors and such.
Continue.
Truman has had to step out for a minute to answer his phone. But Brian, what's next?
What's next? Well, it's really time to wrap up the program, to be honest. And, of course, Truman's fan club continues to call.
I notice they don't call until after 10 because they must think he's done. But
he's never done at 10.
We actually go usually to about 10:10.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. I had a call, but I've got some things that I got to do. It's going to be one of those busy days.
We understand, and you have our sympathy. I know that things will work out.
I think so. They always do. And we are wrapping up the show right now. And we'll see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock. And, Greg, it's always good to be with you.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yes, Delmentry at High.